kind of bottle the picture perfect day we have had yesterday and today. Perfect with those fluffy white clouds. Hello, everybody. I'm Bill Buckmaster. Ray Allen is my producer engineer on the other side of the glass, but he may be on the other side of the glass, but I know that he, along with myself, welcome you to the Buckmaster Show on this May 11th, Thursday afternoon, 2017, coming to you from Tucson's Voice, AM 1030, KVOI. If you're not in front of a radio, it's not a problem. If you're around a computer, you can get the program. We live stream it at buckmastershow.com and kvoi.com. Plus, we have all of our programs archived for you over the past 6 years. Our live line number is 790-2040. If you'd like to join in the conversation, especially during segment number one, as we discuss Proposition 101, that is the City of Tucson's proposed half-cent sales tax plan. David Eppenheimer is with us. David is the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. David, how are you?
I'm great. Thank you, Bill.
You've kind of stepped up now and taken kind of the flag, the no flag on this Prop 101. You were a little late coming to the game.
Well, okay. I actually had a opinion piece in the paper on April the 11th.
What?
Yes, I did. I had an opinion piece in the paper last month, and nobody was really paying attention to anything about 101 at that point. And it was even held a little bit. I sent it in late March, and the paper held it for a time when it would be a little bit more pertinent.
I don't recall seeing that.
I certainly did. It was on April 11th. Huh. And so I did an opinion piece urging voters to vote no. And then a little time went by, and things started heating up. So we waved the flag and put the signs out that you see around town. Ours are the ones that are red with white lettering that say, sales tax question mark, vote no. And so we got those out, and then I've been on a number of media outlets and urging people to vote no. We've walked neighborhoods. We've done sign waves. We were at the fair with big signs to vote no. So we've been active in this. It's just that, you know, the public impression only comes to the fore, you know, a week or two before the vote.
Everybody's talking about it right now.
Everybody's talking about it right
because,
now.
Because, you know, the voting is underway. People are going to be bringing ballots, by the way. You have to bring them now to the polling place, correct?
That's correct, because they're worried, or at least they put the message out that you can't trust that they'll get them in time. And Tuesday the 16th. Is the last day to get your ballot in. So I guess at this point on a Thursday before Tuesday, you're better off getting your ballot in on election day and taking it to one of the ballot sites.
And not trusting that the mail will go to Phoenix for a couple of
days. It has to go to Phoenix to come back here. So, and there's a weekend in the middle here, so that's probably the best thing to do.
All right, so why are you urging a no vote on something? We had the mayor on the program Friday. He was saying basically it's only going to cost, Dave, about $3 a month.
Yes, that is the analysis, but that's not the point. The point is that this is a bailout of the city who has been mismanaging its budget for years. We firmly believe that there are basic core services a city has to deliver. And of those, roads, fire, police, parks, water, garbage collection, those are six. Three of those the city has been neglecting, police, fire, and roads. We don't disagree that police, fire, and roads need attention. What we disagree with is the way the city wants to do it, by by asking the taxpayer to impose another tax on themselves instead of properly budgeting and managing $1.3 billion in income that this city takes in. We believe, and we've been trying to get the message out, that tell the city that core services have to be funded first, Then if you've got money left over, you can give to your pet projects. You can fund neighborhood associations. You can give grants to nonprofits. But those six core services that I just enumerated have got to be the bottom of the pyramid, the foundation for what a city does, in this case, Tucson.
Is this a punishment vote then by saying no? You know, sending a message, let's punish the city council.
Well, punish is a harsh word, but I think it's a send the message vote, yes. Mm-hmm. This is send the message, tell mayor and council to get themselves straightened out in how they handle our budget.
Where would the money now come from? If this does go down, the roads aren't going to get any better, are they? I mean, what's your plan?
Well, the plan is cut the fat out of the city budget because there's lots of fat in there. There's $58 million in the budget under the heading Other Services. The tax is intended to raise $50 million a year. So for 5 years. So analyze that $58 million. Let's see where that's going. Let's see what can be cut out of that. You let me at that budget, and I'll find the $50 million a year.
You would take the red pen or pencil, and you would do some drastic budget cutting. Is
drastic,
that what you're saying?
Drastic budget cutting in the areas that I just mentioned. They're giving away millions of dollars in subsidies to neighborhood associations and nonprofits. Pet projects, and then they spend that money and go at the end of the year, oops, we're out of money. We can't fix roads and get the police their bulletproof vests and get the fire the equipment they need. So let's go to the taxpayer to make it up.
Let's go to the live line now, and listener Tom would like to speak with Dave Eppenheimer. Hey, Tom.
Yes, can money be saved somehow on parks?
On what was that, parks?
Parks, yes.
Oh, I think the parks aren't in that great a shape. I don't know, maybe Dave has.
Well, I don't have facts and numbers on that, but there are people in the community that think that our park system is overly directed towards golf, which is a sport that is presumably, or we hear, is on the decline. I think the golf income and the park system has declined. Personally, I like golf, so, you know, I don't have a beef with golf. But it is expensive, and I think maybe the park system does need some analysis.
Well, Dave, if this is so bad, this Prop 101, why, as the mayor points out, you've got the Tucson Chamber, the Association of Realtors, some of the Tucson Medical Center, Visit Tucson, and various local businesses, why are they on board?
Well, I think they're on board out of good intentions. Mm-hmm. Again, the Republican Party does not dispute that roads and the police and the fire need attention. We don't dispute that. I think those groups that you just enumerated are more concerned with the fixing of the problem in any way, shape, or form than we are concerned that this is a bailout. It's a bailout of the city's bad management, and I think that the Chamber of Commerce and these other groups are ignoring that. They're giving the city council and mayor a free pass to mismanage the budget and then come to the taxpayer to bail them out.
How do you think this council is doing, though, overall right now, this all-Democratic council?
Well, we think that they're doing a very poor job. Just for example, the Grand Canyon University debacle. This could have brought hundreds of high-paid educators, thousands of students to Tucson to spend their money, pay tuition, find a place for housing. It would have been a great boon to our economy, and I point at that as just one of the worst examples of the mismanagement of the city council. It's like a horror story. Rahina got a little bit of pushback from a small number of her constituents, and then the board just capitulated. The council just capitulated and said, "Okay, you can't come here."
What's your response been? You said you've been all over the city talking this up, this no on Proposition 101. Kind of what's your gut feeling? How do you think it's going to be very close?
I think it's going to be very close. Certainly the city has mounted a formidable campaign in favor of the tax. I think it's going to be close, but what I'm hearing, maybe it's just because of who I'm associating with, but what I'm hearing is people are going to vote against it. They're certainly city employees, the unions are going to vote for it. They've been instructed to by the mayor. The mayor has been bullying some of the business community. I know that for a fact, to not oppose. So it's going to be close. But I think the working person in Tucson, especially those that live in the city center and have to spend in the city where this tax is going to be imposed, the working person is telling me that they're against this.
All right, Dave Eppenheimer, the chair of the Pima County Republican Party. Dave, you took over, as I recall, was it the first of the year?
It was December 17th of 16.
Can you give us a kind of a quick overview of how it has gone so far under your tutelage?
Well, it has gone very, very well. We have been focusing on fundraising, on getting the economic situation of the party back on track. We had a fundraiser last night with Congressman Paul Gosar.
How did that go?
Oh, it went swimmingly.
Where was that?
That was at Tucson Country Club.
Okay.
It was a high-end fundraiser, we raised a few thousand dollars, and the congressman was scintillating, had lots of wonderful things to say.
He had a good speech.
Gave a great speech, and everybody enjoyed it.
All right, Dave Eppenheimer. Thank you, Dave. Good to see you.
Good to see you, Bill. Thank you for having me on.
And again, Dave is here speaking in opposition to Proposition 101. The vote is, people are taking their ballots to the polling places, and that, of course, the election is the special election next Tuesday. All right, we'll be right back. Bruce Wheeler wants to challenge Congresswoman Martha McSally. We'll talk with Mr. Wheeler after this. The excitement is building for the grand opening in 2017 for the Twisted Tandoor. The legendary Indian food truck will now have a permanent brick-and-mortar home at Swan and Camp Lowell Drive. The menu will be an expansion of the Indian classic offerings from the original Twisted Tandoor food truck. The Twisted Tandoor, coming in 2017 at 4660 East Camp Lowell Drive. This is Bill Buckmaster. One of my passions is travel, visiting over 100 countries in all 50 states. When I'm ready to take off, I fly from Tucson International Airport, with 6 airlines flying nonstop to 19 destinations and easy one-stop connections. I can get virtually anywhere in the world. It's close by, convenient, with competitive airfares, and the best part is there's no long drive coming back home after a long trip. Check out flytucson.com, travel smart, and fly Tucson. It's the way to go. The Regional Transportation Authority and its members are working together to deliver transportation improvements to our region. More than 770 improvements have been completed to date. The success of the RTA is built upon collaboration and leadership that focuses on addressing our regional mobility needs to make our region a safer, more efficient, and more vibrant place to live. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
If you're searching for that special one-of-a-kind item, may I suggest Adobe House Antiques. It has a vast collection and variety of antiques, lighting, and fine art. In addition to the interior space, a large outdoor location offers an extensive collection of vintage patio furniture, exterior lighting, and ironwork. Come see Penny at 2700 North Campbell, 325-9439, or on the web at adobehouseantiques.com.
Hi, this is Sean McCluskey, co-owner and designated broker for Rincon Ventures. If you're a rental owner by choice or by accident, and you're looking to hire or change property management companies, consider Rincon Ventures. We employ an aggressive web-based advertising strategy to market your rental. We thoroughly screen prospective tenants and conduct routine property inspections. Our online system gives tenants the ability to pay rent and file maintenance requests instantly over the web. Our owners can use the same system to instantly check on their properties. Call Rincon Ventures at 881-2258 or visit us on the web at rvprop.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Coming up Friday, Tucson's police chief Christopher Magnus will join us. Our Friday roundtable features Tim Steller of The Star and Hank Stevenson of the Arizona Capital Times. Matt Russell with Weekend Watch on Buckmaster on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:21 on this Thursday afternoon. One of our fine sponsors, pretty much have been with us since we began the Buckmaster Show over 6 years ago, are the fine people over in Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. That's a pretty part of the southwestern United States. Silver City with that mile-high elevation, pretty much 5,000 to 7,000 feet in the area, makes for just pleasant days and cool nights. And this Memorial Day weekend is the 22nd annual Silver City Blues Festival. It's become a very big deal. It's free, the event, and to check out where to stay and things to do, visit southwestnewmexico.org. Bruce Wheeler is with us, former state lawmaker, twice actually. He had twice go around, three times.
Two separate times.
And you've got a really amazing background. I mean, I first met you when I came to town in 1988. You had pretty much just been elected to the Tucson City Council, where you served until 1995. But before your city council days, you were up at the State House, in the State House of Representatives, from January 1975 until 77, then went back in 2014 for two terms. And so, I mean, you've been around.
Well, thanks. Thanks for having me on the air,
Billy. That's a compliment, too.
I appreciate
saying
that.
Being around.
I've been around since in Tucson since 1969.
Why did you come out here originally? I've never asked you that.
I worked for U.S. Senator Phil Hart of Michigan in Washington, D.C. I was his correspondence aide, his secretary at his office in D.C. And I hadn't finished. I was going to night school at a junior college. I wanted to finish my education. My dad grew up in the Grand Canyon during the Depression, and so west and south and close to the border were magnets of attraction, and that's why I came here.
And now you have decided that you are going to run for Congress and challenge Martha McSally, and you will not be alone in this field that who knows how many candidates will when it all sorts out.
Bill, that's correct. And Bill, I have no illusions. This is going to be a formidable race. Martha McSally is to be taken, obviously, very seriously, although I think for the first time in her political career, she's become vulnerable. But there will be I thought six or eight Democrats running interested in the primary. There are going to be quite a few more than that. Some we have heard of, like Jeff Lattis and Ann Kirkpatrick, who used to represent a congressional district in Flagstaff, and others. And then there are total unknowns. So the field is wide open. I think that with my name recognition and experience being elected in that area, the same district actually, three times is an advantage. Plus, I think we have a message, and that's the real advantage.
Jeff Lattis had run previously. He has an exploratory committee. Whether or not Jeff's going to go full bore into this, we'll see. There's a young man, he's 30 years old, I believe, Billy Kovacs, is new to politics. So you're going to have people certainly will have a choice on the Democratic side. What is going to separate you, Bruce, then, from the pack?
That I've been elected in this area more than anyone of that's being mentioned. Of all the rumored candidates, no one has been elected to this area as often as I have. And obviously, I'm willing to stand out and be very clear on the issues. For instance, I'm the only Democrat running that is advocating Medicare for all. Period. None of this tinkering around the edges, none of this fixing Obamacare, which obviously it needs to be fixed at the very minimum. And you know, some Democrats are saying, let's bring Medicare down to 55 and let's do this and that. Look, everyone knows someone in their family or close friend that's on Medicare. It's effective, it's efficient, and it works, and it's necessary. And we're the only industrialized nation in the world, as we all know, that does not have some type of universal health care. So I stand out on that. I'm also very public about the dark money issue, Citizens United, the effect of money. And so I think there are a few issues that separate me from the rest of the pack, including those. And I'm really not going to say anything bad about them because they are fellow Democrats. And I think a lot of them are really good candidates. But I think that's a good starter right there.
Let's go back to health care. Some feel that when this finally gets out of the Senate, it's not going to look anything like the bill that passed the House, and there was the big celebration with President Trump and all the House of Representative members who were on board. It looked like a signing ceremony, but this is a bill that many probably will not even recognize when it emerges from the Senate. And, you know, I keep hearing that we're going to a single-payer system one way or another. Why don't we do it right now? Is that what you're basically saying?
Absolutely. If you 2 points that you made, and they're both well taken. One, you're absolutely correct that the House version is already dead on arrival in the Senate. So you have
that's what I'm hearing.
The Senate, Mitch McConnell, the majority leader, has appointed a panel of 13 senators to start from scratch. Mm-hmm. You hear other
so it's basically the other ones in the shredder.
Of course, and you even listen to most Republican representatives in Congress have voted for this Trump care, that they didn't read it, they didn't wait for the office of the budgetary office, the Congressional Budgetary Office analysis, so it was rushed through for political purposes. So it's definitely going to change. And the second point is also well taken. I don't know which elected senator, Republican senator, said, you know, the ideological debate about, quote unquote, government interference in health care is now over. The proof of that, of course, is that as soon as the House attempted to repeal Obamacare, which they've been bragging and saying they do for 7 years, now they get the power to do it, and they can't do it. Why? Because of these 10 essential benefits. That's what they're called. Maternity care, mental health care, pre-existing conditions, and seven others. As soon as the right-wingers in Congress tried to get rid of all of Obamacare, including those essential benefits, they ran up against a firestorm. And that was, no, the government needs to guarantee those essential benefits. And that's the transformative change. That's why I believe it's time to stop tinkering around the edges and go straight to a Medicare for all solution that is, again, cost effective and works.
And again, with a Medicare for all, there would be ways that you wouldn't have to go to a, quote, government sanctioned doctor. You'd still have the private. There'd be a two-tier healthcare system in effect. You'd still be able to see like with Medicare supplements that people pay for. Right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You have in many...
And similar way in Canada is a two-tier system.
In Europe and Canada, yeah. You know, if you want to have your own private doctor and your own private health insurance and that, you're perfectly welcome to do that. And when people that put down the Medicare for All or universal health care estate problems in Canada or other places, there are problems always with any healthcare system, but they can be fixed, and we don't have to adopt a Canadian plan 100%. But the point is, Medicare works, and all you have to do is look at how Medicare treats your grandma and go, I want that. So when Martha McSally and Republicans campaign on a pledge to protect Medicare, I say, Martha, let's go the extra step. Let's have Medicare for everyone.
All right. We're going to talk some more with Bruce Wheeler. If you are listening and decide that you don't like what you've heard Mr. Wheeler say, or perhaps you do, we'd love to hear from you. 790-2040 is our live line number. It's the mid-break on the Buckmaster Show. More with Bruce Wheeler after this. Tucson now has its own Creole restaurant, named after the classic New Orleans cocktail. Sazerac Creole Kitchen and Cocktail Parlor is located in St. Phillips Plaza at River and Campbell. The New Orleans-inspired menu includes a full range of gumbos and much-loved beignets. See you soon at Sazerac, open daily, 8 a.m. to midnight at St. Phillips Plaza.
Since 1944, the Humane Society of Southern Arizona has helped over 1 million pets in Southern Arizona. I'm Richard Carmona, 17th Surgeon General of the United States and Distinguished Professor at the University of Arizona. Join me in supporting the Humane Society of Southern Arizona in their effort to build a new animal welfare center. Keeping the pets in our community safe and healthy helps ensure that our community as a whole is safe and healthy. Please donate now, because we are all in this together.
Southern Arizona News Examiner, reporting from a different perspective. Our business and technology section takes a different look at the economy from the Mises Institute, the Taxpayers Protection Alliance, Mises Global Economic Trend Analysis, and the Daily Bell. It is business and technology news from a different perspective. The Southern Arizona News Examiner. Free subscriptions at soaznewsx.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. I love travel and flying from Tucson International Airport. And when you fly Tucson, you're standing up for Tucson. When more people fly Tucson, airlines respond with more flights. And with more flights, more travelers can get here to conduct important business. It's a win for the region, and it's a win for you in time saved and money saved not traveling to an airport 2 hours away. Next time you book a flight, type in T-U-S. Travel smart and fly Tucson. It's the way to go.
It's a land and cruise vacation sale at Bon Voyage Travel. Plan your dream vacation now and save big, up to 65%. Alaska, Hawaii, Europe, South America, the Caribbean, pick your perfect destination. Bon Voyage Travel will create your exclusive getaway that includes extra perks and bonuses you won't find anywhere else. Call Bon Voyage Travel today or visit bvtravel.com.
This is Bill Buckmaster. Green Things has been the place for all things green for the Buckmaster household for many years. From 2-inch succulents to 10-foot tall palms and desert trees, Green Things has it all on 13 acres and 33 greenhouses full of plants, pottery, and gardening supplies. Visit Green Things at 3384 East River Road by the Rito Riverwalk and on the web at greenthingsaz.com. Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine in a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, happy hour, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley. Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, 12:34 on this Thursday afternoon. One of our fine sponsors is Green Things. Green Things at 3384 East River Road. Green Things wants to say hi and thanks to all the moms. This Mother's Day, a special day over at Green Things, just west of the intersection of Dodge and River, just west of the Brandy Fenton Park. Go to the Green Things website, greenthingsaz.com. If you've not been over there and you like to garden, you're really missing something. They've got everything you need on 13 acres. Jan and Jack have taken the original property over there, which was 3 acres, and they have really done a beautiful job. All right, we continue now our conversation with Bruce Wheeler, Democratic candidate for Congress in the 2nd Congressional District, the seat currently held by Republican Martha McSally. One of our listeners emailed me during the break, Bruce Wheeler, saying, what part of the Constitution authorizes national health care?
Well, it's very simple. What part of the Constitution prohibits national health care? What part of the Constitution? We want to have a discussion on the Constitution and constitutionality of issues. That would be a two-hour radio show, which I would appreciate. What part of the Constitution authorized President Trump to lob 59 Tomahawks into Syria without any declaration of war or permission from Congress, as the Constitution requires?
Let's go to the live line now. Keith has called us and has a question now for Bruce Wheeler. Go ahead, Keith.
Well, guys, it's more of a statement with a question at the end. Bruce, you're espousing socialism. I was raised in the military with the belief, kill a commie for mommy. Let's put it out there. You're talking about socialism. Government imposed financial slavery. The government is $20 trillion in debt straight up, with another $100, $150 trillion in unfunded liabilities. And I'm supposed to believe you? Not.
Oh, okay.
Well, Keith, I appreciate your comments. Of course, there are many people that believe as you do. We already have forms of government-guaranteed health insurance, like the Veterans Administration and others. Every member of Congress has socialized medicine. But obviously, I respectfully just simply disagree with you, and that's what a democracy is about. So thank you for your comments.
All right. Let's move on to another topic, and that's public education. That was a huge issue. It was a huge issue when you were up at the state legislature. It's a huge issue for you right now running for Congress.
That's right. It's what prompted me back after retirement 8 years ago to run for the legislature. I think public education needs to be strengthened and supported. And in Arizona, as in some other states, it's being attacked and weakened. So we the statistics that we've all heard about, that we're 50th in the nation in per pupil funding. We spend about $7,000 per pupil in Arizona versus $50,000 per prison inmate. Our priorities are just totally wrong. And I also have a problem, even from a constitutional point of view, that my tax dollars would go to vouchers, which would go to religious and private schools and even for-profit schools. So the whole voucher system, I think, is destructive to public education. And this goes into the federal issue. Governor Ducey has obviously already made a point, and George Will has recognized what he did with the voucher bill here in Arizona a few weeks ago, that Arizona's voucher bill is now of privatizing education is now a model nationally. And so I think nationally we see that Secretary of Education Betsy DeVos supports exactly what passed in Arizona. I think that's a dangerous precedent, because every dollar that goes into a for-profit private school is one less dollar that goes to our public schools. And vouchers basically, Bill, in my opinion, and I think the facts will bear it out, are really only help people that can already afford to go to send their kids to private schools.
Martha McSally, is she going to be an issue in this campaign with every time she aligns with President Trump, whose support really is almost at a record low? I think his approval rating is down something like 34-35%. Is that going to be a problem for her?
I think it'll be a problem for her, but it'll be a problem of her making, not mine. My issue and my focus is Congressional District 2, the needs of the constituents in this district, and Martha McSally's record. So Martha McSally was, I'm focusing on her record, not necessarily Donald Trump's record. But the last two years in this last term, Martha McSally was able to skate away and just simply vote no on any Democratic-sponsored legislation, and particularly, of course, repeal, repeal, repeal Obamacare. They get into office and they can't. So the difference between the last term and this one is that she will now own and have to justify some terrible votes, the first one being the defining vote, the defining issue of the 115th Congress, which is health care. And she voted for Trump care. She bragged about the letter of support she received from Donald Trump on that. And we're going to see the differences here between her and I, for instance, Bill, and I'll stop, is that when I was in the legislature in 2013, Governor Brewer, Republican governor, eight Republican members of the House and every single Democrat, including myself, voted to expand Medicaid. We expanded the Medicaid rolls in Arizona by 350,000 people. The vote that she took 2 weeks ago will eliminate those entire 358,000 Medicare recipients, and that includes 40,000 in CD2 alone. So my focus is on Martha McSally's record, not her personality, not her character, and not Donald Trump.
Now, putting together a congressional run is an extremely expensive proposition. She has a huge Martha McSally has a very large, I guess you'd call it a war chest. What do you see? How are you shaping this campaign?
I am never going to match, and no Democrat is ever going to match Martha McSally's contributions dollar for dollar. So she had approximately $7 million last time, whether she used it or not, and she'll have at least that much. So what do we need to do? We need to focus on the dependency of a member of Congress, such as Martha McSally, on those donors. In my opinion, Martha McSally is bought and sold by donors. Pharmaceuticals is one example. They have contributed a lot of money to her campaigns in the past. They will continue to contribute to her campaigns. And Martha McSally will do nothing about the spiraling costs of pharmaceuticals and drugs for older and elderly people in CD2. CD2 residents go into debt or they can't afford to buy the drugs they need to stay healthy. And that is because of one reason. Martha McSally receives a lot of money from pharmaceutical donors. Maybe after she hears this, she won't. But the fact is, she already has.
All right, Bruce Wheeler, we're going to let you go. Thank you very much for coming in, Bruce, and good luck to you. It's going to be perhaps a crowded field. We'll see how it all shakes out, but thanks for airing your views.
Thank you, Bill, always for having me. Good seeing you, and happy anniversary.
Thank you very much. Buckmaster Show coming up to 12:42. We'll talk with Dr. Robert Hendricks, the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District, one-time superintendent of the year here in Arizona. And he'll be talking about education. We'll take a deep dive into what really did come out of, was this an education-friendly legislature? We'll hear what Dr. Hendricks has to say right after this. The Regional Transportation Authority works with its member jurisdictions, the business community, project neighbors, and the broader community to deliver transportation projects promised in 2006. This collaborative effort is a model of diverse interests coming together for the benefit of the region. This spirit of regional collaboration helps us address the mobility and safety needs in all of our communities. Better roads, better transit, better choices, a better future. More at rtamobility.com.
Summer reading is free and fun at the Pima County Public Library, where your new favorite book is waiting for you. At librarypima.gov, we have hundreds of free activities, programs, and special events just for kids May 20th through July 15th. Dream big this summer. Visit your local library or librarypima.gov to find out how.
Hi, Suzanne Miller from your Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona, here to remind you to start with trust. and look for the BBB accredited seal when searching for a product or service. Did you know you can request a quote directly from any of our accredited businesses? With over 3,000 accredited businesses in Southern Arizona, you will find a business you can trust. Whether you need a product or service from one company or an entire industry, go to tucson.bbb.org and start your search today.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
As a small business owner, I know the importance of a certified public accountant you can trust. That's why I recommend my CPA, Michael C. Flowers of Flowers, Rieger & Associates, proud sponsors of the Buckmaster Show. Located at 2919 East Broadway and on the web at flowersrieger.com, or follow the live link on buckmastershow.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The average person in the USA today takes over 12 prescription medicines each year, and if you are over age 65, it is more than 17 medicines. CredibleMeds.org is a nonprofit organization dedicated to helping inform you and your healthcare providers. Over 30,000 people die each year from reactions to their medicines. Don't be one of those numbers. Be informed and stay safe. Visit CredibleMeds.org today and take control of your healthcare by taking your medicines safely.
Vero Amore is Tucson's only certified authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, panini, and salad is homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore on the web at veroamore.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show. Dr. Robert Hendricks is the Buckmaster Show contributor on education. Bob Hendricks comes in, and we're so delighted he does. He joins us either in studio or telephonically. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, and he is the former superintendent of the Flowing Wells School District and one-time Arizona Top School Superintendent of the Year. Bob, how are you?
I'm doing well, Bill.
We have lots to cover here because the session ended, the legislative session yesterday. The Arizona Republic on Sunday kind of broke down the areas of education. The final deal, as the Republic says, gave Governor Ducey pretty much what he wanted on education. Well, let's start with what did he want?
Well, I think he would like to divert a lot of our state funds to the private school enterprise. And in my opinion, it really works towards more decimation of the public school system as we know it. I've talked about this before. I mean, it's truly the race to the bottom. And I think we're winning in Arizona. You know, we're still in the bottom quartile. And the governor's approved raises for teachers does not really help. In fact, any gain that we possibly could have been made with Proposition 123 has been lost with this very, very meager raise.
It's a permanent 2% salary increase for all Arizona teachers, but it's incrementally being rolled out over 5 years.
It is, and there's no guarantee after the second year that money is going to be
placed in the base for school districts. We're only really talking about 2 years with a 1.06% the first year and 1.06 the second year. And then we really don't know what's going to happen after that point.
Legislature funded a 1% pay increase then next year and included the wording that it intended to provide the additional 1% the following year. So that's going to cost $34 million next year and $68 million the following year. But still, many are saying, Bob, that this is just a drop in the bucket. And it's not going to really stem the flow, the exodus of teachers leaving this state.
It's not. And, you know, the frustration, I think, among teachers is that our system, as antiquated as I think it is based on a salary schedule. And teachers who basically invested, I'm going to say, 3 years or more in a school district are very reluctant to leave because the amount of experience credit that districts give from year to year is going to be less flexible as teachers decide to move. But I'm not even sure I see a lot of teachers jumping from district to district within the state. They're jumping across the borders. When I say borders, Texas and California and even New Mexico, where they're seeing higher salaries.
So if they can afford to move, the bottom line is if they get an offer that's very nice, they're going to go.
They're going to go. I think we see some evidence of that. And, of course, that presents some serious job vacancy problems for the state of Arizona. But the governor has proposed an answer to that as well, and that is to essentially remove all licensure requirements for teachers.
Yeah, what do you think about that?
Well, I try to think of it in terms of any profession where you would expect high-quality standards and service, whether it's a nurse or an accountant or anyone that requires professional training, to say that, well, we'll just put individuals in the classroom who have had no training, and we're going to put them in front of a class of 30, 35 youngsters, and we're going to expect them to do a high-quality job from the get-go. There's a learning curve even for teachers who have gone through a training program, and we certainly have the traditional training programs, and we have alternative programs, including such programs as Teach America, where you can get training while you're on the job. But this particular suggestion that now is in law by the governor says that districts really do not have to require a person that they hire to have any kind of licensure at all.
How is that going to work realistically? As a former superintendent, say you were still superintendent and someone would come to you and say, I'd like to go into the classroom and I have X amount of years, say, in the high tech field. Would that be your decision then as superintendent whether to make the hire?
Yes, the school districts are still going to have that autonomy to make that decision. And I think what it really gets down to is where's the crunch? Where's the high need area? If it's someone who has a lot of experience, as use an example, technology, and the district can work something out with that individual, including maybe some training, that might give the district more flexibility. But I think by and large, from my perspective as a superintendent or somebody in personnel, mm-hmm. I'm not going to give blanket approval to those individuals without training and licensure experience.
I think there's a huge assumption here then that was made that because you have this experience that suddenly you can be a teacher without any kind of prior training. I mean, you've spent a whole career in education.
Can
someone
just walk
into the classroom and then there are certain, like any profession, certain cultural things that go, the education culture, that there's a learning curve.
There is a learning curve. And I do agree with the critics that maybe there are some courses that we need to reexamine that perhaps are viewed as more frivolous, but you can't take away pedagogy, for example, the teaching strategies that need to be learned, classroom management, child psychology. Those are things that are ought to be part of the toolkit that a new teacher and every teacher should possess. And to think that they're going to get that, even the idea of the internship in which teachers practice, you know, with the support and coaching of a mentor, that's removed too from this experience. So it just doesn't make a lot of sense. And the other thing, Bill, is that we know even by looking at the alternative certification programs that are in place that I think by and large have done a good job, we know that those individuals that go through that program do not stay very long. They have a very short career in teaching. They have other ambitions, other ideas. They see teaching as possibly something to do for now. Mm-hmm. But for the career teacher who's invested a lot of time and money in with their experience, it's a very different opportunity.
Well, it's going to be interesting when we hear the experience of some of these people who take it right to the classroom, what they're going to say about classroom management.
Correct, correct.
Because I believe that's the term, managing a classroom. It's not really, people think it probably, oh, it must be pretty easy to do, but
right.
I don't know.
I wish them all the luck, but unfortunately, for those 30, 35 students in the classroom, it's got to be more than luck. It's got to be more in the idea of how are teachers well prepared to be in the classroom.
We're speaking with Bob Hendricks about the governor's budget, which the final budget deal. There's another issue that is looming. The state going to get sued here, it looks like, for $2 billion in money that will go, that they hope the folks suing will go to school repairs. That's a huge issue.
It is, and our facilities across the state are decaying. They're aging. Even with the conscientious stewardship of the school districts, there are leaky roofs, there are issues with plumbing and those kinds of things. They have to be addressed. And unfortunately, what the governor is proposing to provide support to districts to do that is simply not going to be enough. And in fact, the suit says that the state's about $2 billion behind since 2009 in meeting their obligations.
Let's go to our live line. Dan would like to make a comment about people, teachers in Arizona. Go ahead, Dan.
I kind of question his idea that teachers are just waiting to leave Arizona because of pay. My business takes me to seven different states, and I can tell you Arizona, Southern Arizona, is the least paid of any of them. I don't have to pay quite as much to get people to come here. And most people around the country are dying to come to or willing to come to Arizona and take a big pay cut.
What, just for the life, for the, you're saying for the lifestyle they're willing to sacrifice?
For the weather, for the lifestyle, for the friendliness of the people.
All right.
Just general Arizona people love it and want to come here and stay, and very seldom do they ever leave, even though they're taking less pay.
Okay.
Well, I've heard some teachers say sarcastically, you know, you can only pay us so much in sunshine. And so the reality is if you look at the hard numbers, sir, between what the average teacher makes in Arizona compared to some of the other states, I would agree that climate and some other conditions make it very favorable to live here. But to raise a family on a salary that is significantly less than many other parts of the country really is a disincentive for people to stay here or to come here.
Getting back to the school, and we're just about out of time, Bob Hendricks, there is such a thing as the School Facilities Board that was created for school construction, building maintenance. That I guess that has not been funded the way it should be over the years.
No, it has not been, but it's an excellent vehicle for a review of what school conditions are and determine if the funding should be given or not. And there's been $33.9 million given and an additional $17 million for this year. But it's still not adequate to meet the needs for the disrepair of schools.
All right, Bob Hendricks, thank you very much, Bob, and we'll talk to you in June. Thanks for coming in. Appreciate
You're most welcome.
It very much. Coming up this afternoon, Mike Check. The name of the show is Mike Check with Mike Shaw. Ray Allen helping out on that program from 4 to 5 this afternoon. Tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show, we have the police chief, Christopher Magnus, coming on the program. Tim Steller also will be here from the Arizona Daily Star. And, of course, Wake Up Tucson, 6 to 9 tomorrow. Until then, on behalf of Ray, I'm Bill Buckmaster. Enjoy this great afternoon.